Stardate 96359.98. My name is Mike Moody, and you're listening to Star Trek Discovery Pod. With me is
Grant Davis
and
Clyde Haynes.
Guys, we're back!
What? It's been such a long time.
It's been a long time, but it's good to be back.
So tonight we're talking about the first episode of Star Trek Short Treks. That is the minisode series that CBS All Access just launched. There's going to be about four of these every month right before or leading up to the season premiere of Discovery Season 2. And we just finished watching it now. You're going to get our raw hot takes.
You're really working on it.
And we're going to get this episode out quick. So there's going to be minimal editing. This is a looser episode, I think, than our usual stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we've been wanting to kind of get back on the mics on the podcast. We've been gone for several months since season one ended. And
we might be bad at it at this point. So we're like,
yeah,
let's work out the kinks doing these little minis.
You know,
I think that's what they're doing, right? They're getting they're working out the kinks with these short treks.
Yeah.
And kind of getting us used to being back.
I'm wondering how Clyde felt about this.
Well, before we jump into that, I do want to remind everybody that we are, and if you're a new listener, we are a Star Trek Discovery Podcast. You can find us at StarTrekPod.com. You can subscribe to the podcast there. You can find all of our social media links there. You can help us. You can join our Patreon there for $1 an episode. You can listen to bonus episodes that we've recorded, future bonus episodes we're going to record all about Star Trek, maybe some not about Star Trek. We've been getting some requests for us to talk about like other sci-fi movies and stuff.
Right.
So that might be fun.
That could be a lot of fun.
And for $2 an episode on our Patreon, you can join our private Slack channel. So you can get access to that where we talk about Star Trek all day with other listeners of the podcast, other Star Trek Discovery fans. It's a great time, and you want to join. So hit us up at StarTrekPod.com. You'll find the links to all that stuff there.
Cool.
Okay, so I kind of want to talk about how excited I am for season two of Discovery. I kind of want to talk about that trailer. You know, I've been wanting to get you guys into studio to kind of fill the void from our season one coverage and our season two coverage, which isn't happening till January. Mm-hmm. But I was like, okay, what can be the topic? Like maybe we can talk about that new Picard show that is in development right now with Patrick Stewart, which sounds really exciting. It's going to be on CBS All Access hopefully next year.
Can I just say one thing about that?
Yeah.
He's going to die in the first episode.
No.
And then they're going to pass the torch. He's too old.
He is pretty old. And
he's really active, though.
They cannot bank on a guy that old. He is there to get people in the seat for them to launch a new thing and then die.
I'm kind of with Grant on this, and it's not just – I'm not even thinking about Patrick Stewart. But Picard was great. But Picard was great in the 90s. I'm not sure that he still – feels the same way.
Did you guys
today
watch Green Room two years ago? Patrick Stewart still has it, man. He's still a very viable screen presence.
Is and this the same type of character as Picard?
Well, no, but I'm just saying, look what he can do on the screen still. He can have a commanding presence. And I think that Picard series was just announced as a miniseries, so they might launch something else after that.
Okay.
My thought, I think it's going to be like a 6 or 8 episode thing. I'm not really sure.
He might be able to handle that.
He's Professor X.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, I mean, I know we all love Picard. For many of us, he's our favorite captain.
Yeah.
But what is this show really going to be about? Right? Because Picard's great, but if you think about the Picard-centric episodes of TNG, where he wasn't on the ship and he was down on some stupid planet mining something or looking at archaeology and getting trapped in a cave or something, those weren't the best episodes.
There are some great Picard episodes, though. There really are. There's a couple two-parters that go into his life in the past. There's his back and forth with Q that are also two-parters. There's some great stuff.
I like him on the ship.
I know you like people on the ship. If this Short Trek episode wasn't on the ship, you would have probably left the studio.
Might have, yeah.
I think it's just going to be no galaxy for old men kind of thing.
Maybe.
His generation has passed.
Well, we'll find out. We'll make you watch it. But we're not talking about that tonight.
Right.
We what I was trying to say was, I was like, how can I get us back in the studio and kind of fill the void in between seasons and just put out some podcasts and have fun and talk about Star Trek? And I realized, you know, what we do best is watch an episode of Star Trek and talk about it. And luckily, we have new Star Trek to watch, which we just did tonight, and it gave us the opportunity to jump back on the mic. So the first episode of Star Trek Short Treks was called Runaway, and it was written by Jenny Lumet, Alex Kurtzman, the new showrunner, and directed by Maja Vrilo, V-R-V-I-L-O. Somebody take a shot at that.
Vrilo.
There you go. And it's centered on Tilly, Mary Wiseman, meeting an unexpected visitor. Okay, guys, this was the first
episode. It makes it sound like she got her period, doesn't it?
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't write that. CBS All Access did.
Yeah, write about a little lead in there.
Okay, like I said, we just watched it. We just turned it off. And just hot takes, guys. What'd you think about this short track?
Look, I was excited about this, and I've been missing the Star Trek universe. And the first opening shot where they pan the ship and you see the cargo bay, I thought, first of all, the shot was great. The cargo bay was cool. The tech inside the cargo bay was cool. Like, I was like, okay, this feels like sci-fi to me. This feels like kind of a space opera. I was excited. So I love being back in this world. Honestly, I thought it started out, for something that was only 15 minutes, it started out a little bit slow and didn't really have me pulled in until the universal translator kicked in, and now I'm getting dialogue between Tilly and this alien.
Grant, initial thoughts?
I think that, what's her name? Mary
Wiseman. Mary Wiseman.
Mary Wiseman. I think she's fantastic as mm-hmm. Tilly. I think she's funny. I think that she's just got such charm, and I'm down to hear how she like delivers her dialogue, but the plot was kind of weird. I was a little bit bored by certain parts of it. I thought, yeah, it ran a little slow with me having to follow this feral alien that also is supposed to be an up and coming queen, but she's an animal beast and she's
super engineer.
I like, okay, there's also some stuff that's a little bit beyond me that I imagine I have some questions for you guys that I think you can answer.
All right.
I was just like, what's going on? And then, yeah, there's just a couple scenes that fell flat.
Like Clyde, I was pretty excited about this. I was excited about the prospect of a Star Trek doing a short fiction miniseries, right? Just like really short, tight.
Short stories, yeah.
Yeah, little mm-hmm. short stories. I love short sci-fi stories. So I was looking forward to this. Like, I love... The thing I love about television is when a showrunner or creator can tell a really focused, character-centric story, and that's what we're supposed to get in these. And so I was kind of on the fence with this one. I really love Mary Wiseman. She does a great job as Tilly. I love, in the first like 5 minutes, all the human moments with Tilly, where she is dealing with the issues with her mother, who doesn't have any faith in her chances at doing great in this command program, which we know Tilly can do great, but she is still struggling with that confidence. So I liked all those human moments. I liked that she takes out her rage on the replicator. I thought that was pretty funny. And did you guys ever watch the Stargate TV shows?
All of them, yeah.
Okay.
Nope, not a single one.
All right. Well,
you're missing out, man.
That's why I'm on this podcast, because I don't watch this stuff.
Well, I think what Star Trek has tried to do in the past, especially with Enterprise, was make the characters a little more relatable to us now, right? They didn't really pull that off in Enterprise, and no. I don't want to... It seems like we dog on Enterprise in every episode of this podcast.
And right. We're going to hear about it from our listeners.
Yeah. But they didn't really pull that off. But I think they're pulling that off really well with Discovery, especially in this episode. We saw Tilly acting like a friend, somebody I know in my life, but who is aspiring for more, right? So we're seeing kind of that transition from like a 21st century human to a 24th century human. Does that make any sense?
It does. I needed more.
Yeah.
Like I wanted, if you say, okay, so sum up what you now know about Tilly from having seen this snapshot. I know that she has a sister, and it's a case where her mother thinks her sister's great and thinks that she's not so great. And Tilly is struggling with that dynamic and confidence in that area. Okay, great. Tell me something else. Like, what does Tilly's day look like? Like, I thought they could have gone deeper into the and fleshing out some of the character development.
Yeah.
Of this character.
Yeah, it felt a little hacky. The scene with her and her mom already that played really awkwardly to me. It felt like either they filmed in different rooms and they were trying to like sync up when they're supposed to say their lines, which is likely because she's a hologram mom walking back and forth. But they could have been in the same room and then they could have just done a special effect on her. I don't know. But it like the mom's dialogue just felt stilted and that therefore like everything Tilly said felt like she was just trying to play off of that. The whole thing was awkward to me.
Well, I think the biggest thing I struggled with in that scene was that we never saw the mom, right? We got a lot of the
back.
We didn't see her face. We got the back of her head. We got kind of a little bit of the side. But part of that, the issue with that was that I was waiting for the payoff, right? When you hide a character for the better part of their dialogue, now I'm expecting, oh, this is someone I'm going to recognize. Mm. This is going to be someone. I'm listening for the voice, and it never paid off.
You think it's intentional? Like, later down the road, they might want to cast a big name, and so they're just like, we'll keep her relatively obscured for
That's
now.
Definitely what happened. And, you know, maybe it was just my fan expectation, but I heard that voice of the mom, and it felt familiar.
It did.
But maybe it's just my fan expectation. Maybe it was nobody. But, like I said, we just watched this. It just aired 8:30 p.m. Central Time here in Texas. So, you know, Reddit might be lighting up with casting information and theories. So one of the reasons we jump on the mic so quickly after a new episode airs is just to get our thoughts out there, but to also post these episodes quickly so you, the listener, can tell us what you thought about the episode. So we're not going to have all the answers right away, but we want to start a conversation with you. So you can find us on Twitter at Star Trek Pod. And if you join our Slack, we're going to be talking about this episode for a month until the next one airs. Grant.
You know, another thing, going back to that particular scene, part of me was thinking that what we're seeing is Tilly watching a recording of her mom from a previous conversation, and she's trying to, like, replay her lines, and, like, that's why it just felt disconnected. It didn't feel like she was talking to someone else, actually, so much as she was, like, bouncing off of a recorded conversation. I don't know.
You don't do that? You haven't recorded your parents and talked to them? And
I would feel I would have better comebacks if that was the case.
Yeah.
But, you know, after that, like I said, what felt hacky is, you know, we get these overt parallels between her and Poe, where, oh, they both have sisters and they both feel like they're disappointments to their parents and they feel too sheltered and that they have greater purpose and they're both struggling. And like, it was just so like on the nose.
Pretty
like,
hackneyed.
Yeah, I was like, all right.
I mean, it is, if we're going to get a Tilly story this early in the series, it's going to be about her overcoming her confidence issues, and that's what we're going to get, right? I mean, I would like something a little less rote, but that's what we're going to get. That's what we got.
I just thought we were a little past this now that we have Mirror Universe Tilly, right? Like Captain Killy, isn't that what it was?
Yeah.
Like I felt like Tilly got to see, wow, I can have this confidence, and then Tilly actually had to pretend to be Killy. And so I kind of thought, all right, so now we're going to see a more confident Tilly moving forward. And so I guess I was a little bit like, oh, okay, so we're back here. All right.
Yeah, it was a little disappointing to see her kind of reset a little bit after all the heroic things she did in season one.
Yeah.
I thought that, Clyde, while we were watching, you brought up a pretty good point of like, where is everyone else on a 24-hour-a-day ship?
They're in the green room.
Yeah. She said, she has the line where she says the next duty shift is going to start in a couple minutes. But I was thinking, come on, this is a starship. So you mean to tell me that at any point Tilly's sitting in a room, not just a room where the food is and she's by herself? There's not a chance. Right? Somebody is in there getting cereal.
I mean, I get it for the
some Cap'n Crunch or something.
For the convenience of the plot, I understand why they, you know, they do that.
And I had to suspend belief a little bit, but I was just thinking I had to overcome this idea that she was by herself.
Yeah, in my years of TV watching, I just give that stuff a pass, but I see where you're coming from. But did they establish that it was like 3 a.m. or something?
No.
No?
Well, okay. They said in the as they were leaving and we're seeing the back of people kind of leave the cargo bay, they said fifth shift is ending. Mm. So they gave us a little bit.
Right.
I think the other thing that I was looking for, and I'm trying to see if they're just sowing some seeds that are going to be reaped later.
Definitely.
Is that we have this conversation about dilithium and recrystallizing dilithium and her being the queen of this planet. Like, from a political standpoint, that is super significant. I mean, what we're talking about is the equivalent of, like, sci-fi oil, right? Like,
Grant, what is dilithium?
Okay, here's my guess. Dilithium is the magic crystal, kind of like the crystals in it's always crystals, right? This in Star Wars, they have the crystal for their lightsabers.
Right.
These ones allow warp drive. I'm guessing.
Nicely.
So they're able.
Yeah. Grant. Well,
good extrapolation, Grant.
Well,
Grant's a newbie for newbies to the podcast. He's new to Star Trek.
I feel like either Clyde said something about warp drives, or they mentioned something early on when Poe started moving around. And she was grabbing her tricorder. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Very, very good job.
Okay, and the tricorder is just something that allows her to analyze whatever the alien is and give. It's like a Wikipedia, a portable, like Wikipedia.
The iPhone 2000.
Yeah, it's a a scanner that tells you like everything.
It's like an iPhone 2000, or just like a regular iPhone.
Yeah,
she can just kind of look at stuff.
It's the product that's going to happen when Apple and Google eventually merge.
Right. Okay.
Do you have insider information?
I do not. Don't get me fired.
Okay, so let's talk about Poe the alien, because we've talked about the story. It was a little rote. We do think that maybe the show with these short treks with this episode might be dropping little hints that or little plot threads that are going to pay off later. But what did you guys think about the alien here?
What is the deal with her being like? It was like two different characters.
Yeah.
All right.
It was
like we were presented with this feral animal, and then we are told, oh wait, it's a child, and then we're told it's like a brilliant person who kind of does know the ways of the world but isn't familiar with ice cream. But I'm like, that doesn't explain why she was acting like a wild animal just scurrying about all invisible all around the room and like going rawr. What character is it?
what's the name of Wolverine's pseudo daughter?
Jubilee?
No.
X-23?
Yeah, so she's X-23. She's Robert Patrick in T2.
She's Wild Child from Mad Max.
Yeah, she's also the Predator.
Nell, I don't know.
She's also like a mall teen, and she's also this brilliant scientist. So it was kind of like, who is this character?
Yeah, I'm with Grant. The minute that Tilly sets up the Universal Translator, all of a sudden it becomes a completely different character. Mm. And now a character that I'm actually interested in hearing what they say. But
weren't you already kind of like annoyed with the other character?
The feral alien running around scurrying with the porcupine back was just like, okay, trap it. Like, why was it in a case? Like,
is this another bad episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. going on here?
Yeah, that's kind of like the production, the everything with this alien. I mean, she was a fine actress, but the way the alien was conceived and displayed was a little odd.
Just initially, it's like they wanted to have it both ways, and I feel like that was a misstep in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, once we got to the second half of the episode, even though that's only like the last 7 or 8 minutes,
to me, it
was much more cohesive. Now I'm going, okay. And I'm asking myself, what is the writer trying to tell me about Tilly's character, right? So it's less about the alien, and I'm thinking, okay, so there's this political intrigue that might come up, you know, with their planet at a later date, but also, what are they trying to tell me? All right, so Tilly is working through this sense of feeling like people think she's crazy and she's alone and she's not heard. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And this is the mechanism that they're using to tell me that. I'm like, okay, got it. But And that was, so that was interesting in the second half, but it didn't leave me with this, oh my goodness, that was amazing. I was like, all right, I think I got what you were trying to tell me.
It was a little muddled, but yeah, there was a environmental message there where Poe is one with her planet
yeah.
And she created this. There's also a embracing your destiny message. There's also the overcoming, I guess, what people think of you and feeling seen, you know?
The resolution was rushed.
Yeah, a little bit.
I must get away. No, go back. Okay, back I go.
Yep. Okay. I'm going to go be queen now.
So here's the other thing that I was struggling with just a little bit, to Grant's point that the ending was rushed, was her return. So she stows away, and who knows even how she got out. Like, that's still a little bit muddled. But so she climbs out of this crate. Now, theoretically, I'm trying to understand, is the ship, leaving? Like, it seems like the ship is leaving, because I'm trying to understand, how are they just going to transport her back to her planet when transporters clearly have a very limited ability to transport?
Yeah, we don't have Montgomery Scott here doing transwarp, functions here. So I don't know how that's working.
So I guess they didn't establish
she
it.
She just shot her somewhere in space randomly.
Yeah,
you're on your own.
I'm sending you to the Uber planet. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, and I feel bad because we're not talking. This isn't one of those episodes where we're like, man, I love this episode. It was great. I want to be that person.
Yeah.
But I'm also thinking this was a great warm up for Star Trek Discovery, because I imagine that we're not going to be the only ones who hit them with these questions. And again, these are your diehard Star Trek fans who are paying, you know, whatever the price is for CBSS All Access. So they're going to be insane with pulling at some of these threads.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to belabor the point. We were excited about this, and I guess it was a fun watch. I'm definitely going to watch it a few more times, just as a Star Trek nerd. I'm going to see if there's any Easter eggs in there for me. I think that's kind of what this is all about. I mean, if we really want to get down to it, these short treks are marketing for season two, right? They're not really art.
No, they're an extended trailer. I mean, I imagine that they're working with some writers and directors and giving them a chance to kind of do something. Mm-hmm. I thought it was feel good. Like, I left thinking, you know, it was great that Tilly had this connection, and I'm hoping that she's going to walk out it with more confidence. And so that's good. But overall, I thought it was okay.
Also, a story where two lead female characters is always good.
Agreed.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm interested to see how the other ones kind of introduce some new characters and check back in with some other ones and just see, like, if there's either like a running theme through these or how they all just kind of culminate and where we pick back up for season two.
Can I say one more thing? And that is, there also this very subtle message. I was under the impression that the show was coming back in early, like, January 2019. And so what they've done is said, okay, so we're going to release four of these once a month. And I'm thinking, oh, so what you're telling me is it's not necessarily coming back in January. And at best, we're looking at February.
Right.
So
is there not a premiere date yet?
I don't know. I haven't seen one. I mean, we will have November, December, and then January. I don't know if they're going to release the fourth one in January and then immediately roll into it.
Yeah, I think as of now, we don't have a premiere date. We've been hearing January 2019. But yeah, there's going to be four of these every month. This one was about Tilly. We're going to have one that is focused on Rainn Wilson's Harry Mudd, one that's focused on Saru, Doug Jones. And the next one is going to be, have we seen this other character before?
It's a new character. I think the title is Calypso.
Right. And we got a little teaser for that.
Yeah.
Four a month or four and one a month?
One a month. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, one a month for 4 months.
Yeah, and it looked like we saw Calypso naked, which or he could have had some, like, I don't know. Whenever I see, like, they have a dude on the, or a person on the table, and, like, it's like, yeah, okay, it would make sense they're naked, but they're like, oh, but we conveniently put underwear on this person right here. I don't know. It just doesn't seem very scientific that you'd care about putting underwear on people.
Do you care about putting underwear on people?
I mean, I don't care. I mean, I think the interesting thing is that it's another episode that, at least from the trailer, that it looks like he wakes up alone. So again, my question is, where is everybody else?
The theme is isolation.
Yeah. I mean, because we see that
No one's on the ship.
The theme is we don't want to pay the whole cast to be in these.
Right.
Yes. Sonequa Martin-Green is filming something else, so you're not going to have access to her or Doug Jones.
Right. Okay, guys, thanks for coming back on the Electric Sweater Bridge. We are part of the Electric Sweater Network to talk about this brand new piece of Star Trek content. Maybe we'll be back before next month to talk about some more news. There's a lot of shit going on behind the scenes with this show. They fired the fucking showrunners.
Drama.
Yeah, there's lots of drama. Maybe we'll get together and talk about that. There'll probably be more news, maybe another trailer coming down the pike in the next month or so. Maybe we'll jump on back, but maybe we won't. Like I said, I think what we do best is watch new Star Trek and talk about it and break it down. And maybe we should just stick to that. We'll see. And remember, you can find us at StarTrekPod.com. Oh, before we go, I want to give a shout out to Ashley, who couldn't be with us today. Hopefully she'll be back for season two. Ashley, we miss you, and hopefully we'll have you back.
Yeah, study hard.
All right, visit us at StarTrekPod.com and tweet at us at StarTrekPod. I think that's all we got.
Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper.